With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Pro Football Focus, it's Austin Gale, the Associate Director of Content. What's up, Austin?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
Good, man. We were talking about this earlier. Didn't watch the second half of the game, but when you look at Drew Brees' numbers and Sean Payton talking about the offense not firing, a lot of people are looking at Drew Brees, his arm, if he's throwing the ball downfield. What do you see from the Pro Football Focus standpoint?
Oh, buddy, Drew Brees does not look like the Drew Brees of yesteryear. This man, the 41-year-old, future Hall of Famer for sure, looks just out of sync. Right now, his average depth of target is the lowest in the NFL. The percentage of his passing yards that have come after the catch, not through the air, is the highest in the NFL. Very few big-time throws, very few throws downfield. 0 for 1 throwing 20-plus yards downfield last night. 5 for 9 throwing 10-plus yards field down last night. I mean, he's just not what he was. I mean, I think someone said it best in saying that he doesn't have a lively arm. It's not so much that his arm strength has jumped off a cliff, because his arm strength wasn't good last year. It's that he's not an anticipatory thrower this year. He's not moving, you know, moving quickly through his progressions. He's not pushing the ball downfield with confidence like he was a year ago. This is a huge concern for a New Orleans Saints team that many felt could go to the Super Bowl this year. Not me. Michael Thomas now out for a few weeks. Drew Brees looks like nothing, a shell of himself. I think the Saints team is in big trouble.
What are you seeing from, I don't know if you reviewed any of the tape yet, from Washington. What are you seeing from Haskins?
Dwayne Haskins is right now up there with the least accurate quarterback in the NFL. The only one who's more accurate than inaccurate than him through 2 weeks is Carson Wentz. Both those quarterbacks have really struggled to put the ball downfield with accuracy. The offensive line is also not great. Defensively has been where you've seen some success. Fabian Moreau has had a really good start to the season. Chase Young leads all rookies in pressures with 8. I'm really impressed with what the Washington football team has done from a defensive standpoint, but their Achilles heel is the quarterback position. And any team with that Achilles heel, unless you have a superstar-loaded roster, is going to struggle to put up points and win games consistently. I'm concerned with Dwayne Haskins. And I think if the Washington football team is in a position to grab one of these big three quarterbacks in 2021, regardless of how this season ends, so that being Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey Lance in North Dakota State, I think they're going to have to pull the trigger. I think the Dwayne Haskins experiment, unless massive things change through the rest of this year, is going to end in Washington.
So you're ready to call it already. You're ready to call it already. Wow. Even though you mentioned he's got a bad offensive line and you haven't even talked about the weapons, besides Terry McLaurin, he doesn't have much to work with.
The problem for me, and the reason why I'm willing to call it, is looking at last year and through two games this year, he is up there with the least accurate quarterback in the NFL. We have yet to see quarterbacks that aren't accurate with the football progress significantly. Even Josh Allen, as well as he's playing right now, is not improved significantly from an accuracy standpoint. Same with Lamar Jackson, one of the more inaccurate quarterbacks coming out of Louisville, and still hasn't jumped to Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr levels. I don't see Dwayne Haskins being a top 15 quarterback from an accuracy perspective, and for that reason, He doesn't have the arm talent, the moxie, the running ability to overcome that. And I think when you have a quarterback that isn't the quarterback, but just a quarterback, it's that much harder to build around him with supporting cast. Because you know what the Washington football team has to do to win football games with Dwayne Haskins? They're going to have to pay Terry McLaurin. They're going to have to bring in stud offensive linemen that cost a ton of money. Continue to add to that defense because he can't do it by himself. I'm not convinced he's a quarterback that elevates the talent of the supporting cast, but rather leans on it. And those quarterbacks don't last long in the NFL.
Austin, do you believe that Coach Rivera will give him a full 16-game audition, or do you see him possibly, if he's ineffective by, you know, still by week 8, week 10, where Kyle Allen replaces him?
So you asked me that question 2 weeks ago, and I think absolutely. I mean, they have no other reason not to. This team's going to be bad. You might as well ride out this experiment, however it may be. But now they're playing in an NFC East that's kind of up in the air. I mean, they're 1-1 through 2 weeks. If they're in a position where Dwayne Haskins is the obvious problem, but they're still, you know, grinding out wins with good defense and, you know, some explosive plays from Terry McLaurin, they could be in a position week 10, week 11 to pull the plug and try and chase, you know, as a playoff berth if they are in a division that allows for it. However, I think if the football team, you know, continues to go down the drain and playoff berth, they're, you know, maybe out of playoff chances by week 10, week 11, you let him finish the season, really see what you have in Dwayne Haskins, and honestly, lose as many games as possible so you can move on if you need to.
Mm. Austin, I saw an article on PFF, which it just jumped out at me, and it was that you guys believe that the Vikings should trade for Jameis Winston.
So wow. Dr. Eric Eager, who was born and raised in Minnesota, and honestly, one of the smartest people I've ever talked to, he's currently the director of research and development at PFF, is really confident in that the problem for the Minnesota Vikings, in addition to a very young secondary, you know, they lost a lot of pieces there, is Kirk Cousins. And he just has not been able to live up to expectation on that monster contract. He was largely propped up, literally propped up by Kevin Stefanski in a play-action-heavy scheme that featured Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, and Stephon Diggs. Now, with Kevin Stefanski now coaching in Cleveland, Kirk Cousins is not living up to expectation. They're not throwing the ball downfield with success. And for that reason, you know who throws the ball downfield with success but also failure is Jameis Winston. I mean, this is the guy that led all quarterbacks in passing yards on throws of 20-plus yards. He led the NFL in touchdowns. Yes, he led him in interceptions as well. But Jameis Winston may be in a better position due to the volatility that does this roller coaster dance of really high highs and really low lows. With that, you know, with the Minnesota Vikings, maybe they're in a better position than staying middle to low with Kirk Cousins under center.
We're joined by Austin Gale. Give him a follow on Twitter at PFF underscore Austin Gale. Your latest tweet is about Calvin Ridley. He has exploded in 2020. This is a bad Falcons team. They're going to be chasing points in basically every game. They can't stop anybody. And Ridley is taking advantage. Matt Ryan is showering him with targets. He's found the end zone twice in each of the first 2 weeks. It's going to slow down at some point. Does it slow down this weekend against the Bears? And how is he making this leap?
Yeah, I think it does slow down a bit against the Bears. The Bears have a much better secondary. Rookie Utah cornerback Jalen Johnson is up there top five in PFF grade through 2 weeks. They play a ton of quarters, a ton of off-coverage concepts that limit big plays. They also have Khalil Mack, who I believe is top three in PFF pass rushing grade through 2 weeks. This is a much better defense than the Atlanta Falcons have faced through the first 2 weeks. However, how he's doing it is that he's just a very good route runner. He continues to find ways to create separation against press, single coverage concepts, and off zone concepts. And the way you do that is, you know, biting into cushion, attacking your defender's leverage, and really running, you know, fantastic, elite, efficient routes. And for that reason, too, Julio Jones drawing a lot of attention to Atlanta, he's reaping the benefits of playing against number two and number three cornerbacks. And I think that's another thing that can't be understated. My opinion, based off the start, he probably finishes top five in fantasy points and also in top eight in PFF grade when it's all said and done. He's just that good.
One thing that I saw on PFF as well is, you know, a lot of people are looking at Tom Brady and they might look at the numbers, but you guys look at every throw, and you're saying he's far from washed up.
No, absolutely. And he's had so many big-time downfield throws dropped, like flat-out dropped. LeSean McCoy dropped an easy touchdown. Scotty Miller made an easy touchdown look hard with an awkward dive. I think Tom Brady's playing so much better than the box scores may suggest, and also I think he's going to continue to get better. His improvement from week one to week two was absolutely insane. I think he's going to continue to find comfortability in Bruce Arians' offense to the point that Tom Brady is going to get better every week. And as he gets better, as he gets stronger with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin out of concussion protocol, the defense in Tampa Bay, I think, is very underrated, very young, but still very underrated. I think this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, we all had our eyes on Drew Brees and the Saints. They might be the best team in the NFC South.
You know, we kind of thought that a team like Jacksonville, they would probably be in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. But you guys believe Gardner Minshew is a franchise quarterback, right?
Not me. Everyone who said the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Gardner Minshew-led Jacksonville Jaguars would be picking number one overall in 2021 was just flat-out wrong. He's untankable, my friend. Gardner Minshew, he's not going to win a Super Bowl, most likely, until the Jacksonville Jaguars add some talent. I mean, their wide receiving core is rough. Their defense is very young. But what Gardner Minshew does well, and what he did well with Mike Leach at Washington State, is throw the ball with accuracy and avoid mistakes under pressure. He has some of the best pocket presence in the NFL, and he's only in his second year. That's just how impressive this guy is. It's more than just moxie. It's more than the mustache. It's him making good decisions with pressure in his face. That dime over the top to Chris Thompson for the score when Jadeveon Clowney breathing down his neck is just throws that other quarterbacks don't make. He has a lot of confidence in his ability, very active with the football. Yes, he's got a noodle arm, but you can win with a noodle arm if you limit your mistakes.
Yeah. Austin, how encouraged were you by Justin Herbert's debut? I mean, he finds out a few minutes before the game starts that he has to start the game because Tyrod Taylor had chest pains. He had to sit out, and it was a pretty remarkable debut for him. He basically had the Chiefs there at the end with the best team in football.
Very encouraged. I mean, Mike Renner, one of my colleagues, tweeted out today that Justin Herbert had over 300 passing yards in his debut against what I think is a good Chiefs defense. Justin Herbert has, I mean, not Justin Herbert, Tyrod Taylor has 300 yards in a single game just once in 47 career starts. The fact that Anthony Lynn came out and said that Tyrod Taylor is the starter when healthy is absurd to me. Justin Herbert, though a roller coaster, I think his performance comped well to a Jameis Winston-like performance, still has highs and volatility that you can get on because I think this Chargers defense is good. And if you have a quarterback that can chase the high end, that can make the big-time throws downfield, you have to ride with the hot hand. And I think Tyrod Taylor, though he'll limit more mistakes than Herbert, I would 100% agree with that. He won't have the same downfield throwing ability that Herbert can. And that's why I think Anthony Lynn needs to pull the cord on the Tyrod Taylor experiment. Let's see what Justin Herbert can do.
I got to ask you about Josh Allen. Okay, so right now he is tops in the league in yards. He's got 729. His completion percentage is 71%. All right, we're not used to seeing that from Josh Allen. Is he just hot? He's got 6 touchdowns. Is he just hot right now, or did he really get significantly better from last year?
I think it's a combination of both. I think he did get a lot better. Pushing the ball downfield with accuracy is something we didn't see with Josh Allen. This year, I'd say he's up there with the best deep-throwing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, what he's done with Stephon Diggs down the football field, John Brown down the football field is so impressive. He's also limiting mistakes. He's still not the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. He's completing a high percentage of passes, but there still are some obvious misses on his tape. But you got to give your cap also to Brian Daboll. This guy has put an offense together where Josh Allen can be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. It's similar to what you saw with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Greg Roman put an offense together to where Lamar Jackson could be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Lamar Jackson isn't an elite quarterback in any offense. Josh Allen isn't an elite quarterback in any offense. But seeing these offensive coordinators like Roman, like Daboll, put offenses that cater to their quarterback strengths. No more, I need a drop back passer. That's my offense. That's what I need. It's, hey, what does this kid do well? Let's do that. And he's going to run the football with Josh Allen. He's going to create open throws off play action and help him find open throws, not have to force it into tight windows, not have to make a ton of hard decisions. And I think that's what's been really impressive with Buffalo. They are a team to beat in the AFC East right now. Them and the Patriots both look really good to start.
Austin, great stuff. That's Austin Gale, Associate Director of Content for Pro Football Focus. Thanks a lot, pal.
Of course, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pro Football Focus every Tuesday at 9 o'clock here on the Junkies. Coming up next, though, we'll shift gears, recap the U.S. Open, talk about Bryson DeChambeau, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and more with Jason Sobel, Senior Golf Writer for the Action Network.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue.
And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for the Action Network. What's up, Jason?
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. You know what? Well? I never ever read your bio like fully until today, and I found the story of your college golf coach interesting. Can you tell the boys about what happened when you tried out for the golf team and you had like a former Celtics player as your coach?
Oh, boy. Okay, I'll see if I can make this one quick. So I had just started playing golf between my sophomore and junior years of college. I went to Brandeis Division III school just outside of Boston, and my best friend in college had been the captain of the golf team, and I called him up before we went back to school. I said, hey, look, I started playing golf. Can I join the team? I still hadn't at that point played 18 holes of real golf. I'd played like on a pitch and putt kind of thing and just learning. So went down to the gym, and the coach was this guy, Bob Branham. He had played power forward for the Celtics back in the 50s. He used to get phone calls in his office and go like kind of growl, pick it up, go, what do you want? And then like hang up the phone. We're like, oh, who's that? He's like, ah, it was Cousy. And we're like, you can't talk to Bob Cousy like that. He's like, ah, whatever. And so, I mean, we're talking about the grumpiest, kind of crankiest, grouchiest old guy you can think of. So, in any case, went down to the gym, hit about 10 balls into the net, and he looks at me and says, can you drive? And I'm sitting there waiting for some wisdom. I'm like, you know, hitting a golf ball is like driving a car, and I'm going to show you what to do. I go, yeah, I can drive. He said, do you have a car here on campus? I said, yeah, I have a car. I'm 19 years old and very naive. I have no idea where this is going. They said, you know, do you have a trunk in the car? I said, yeah. He said, how many people can you fit in your car? I'm like, I have four or five. He goes, can you drive people to practice? I said, yeah. He goes, all right, you're on the team. And so I was a Division III collegiate athlete. Thank you very much.
Wow.
He
goes,
wow.
Nicely
That's
done.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, so what do you make of where Bryson is right now? I mean, has Bryson broken the game? I mean, I'll tell you what, from a fan's perspective, it's incredible to watch. I find him fascinating. I don't know how he is personality-wise. I know he rubs some people the wrong way. But I absolutely love watching what he's doing and what he did to Wingfoot. Like he said, he dominated it, especially on Sunday.
He's not breaking the game. He's evolving the game. And all sports go through it. And, you know, and in 1937, the NFL was playing with leather helmets, and they were barely throwing forward passes. Bryson is bringing the game into the current century. He is taking the game to another level where it's going to change things. And a lot of golf purists can't stand it. A lot of people are like, well, this is going to make all of our courses obsolete, and this is going to change how we look at the game. All sports change. Maybe it's for the better, maybe it's for the worse, but you can't fault Bryson for what he's doing. Rory McIlroy essentially said that after the final round. He said, look, I didn't think he could do it at the U.S. Open. A lot of other people didn't think he could do it, but he's proven us wrong. And love or hate Bryson, I know a lot of people don't like him. I actually really enjoy speaking with him. I think he's very personable. You tend to roll your eyes a little bit at all the science speak that he goes through when he does speak about himself and the game, but that's okay. I mean, you know, he's certainly not a bad guy. I don't think anyone would label him as such. But he does tend to use the science, use the math to his advantage. And, you know, this is a guy that's hitting it further than anybody else. I just did a podcast last night with Scott Fawcett, who is basically his sort of data and strategy guy. And basically Scott said, look, I knew going into the week at the U.S. Open last week that we were going to hit driver everywhere, and he was going to win that golf tournament because he was doing it. And it makes perfect sense. He said, you know, Bryson in one interview said, hey, if the fairways were 1 yard wide, wouldn't you hit driver everywhere because you'd never be in a fairway anyway?
Right.
And basically the answer to that is yes. And so that's sort of the strategy that he employed last week, and obviously it's working.
Well, isn't it true? They always think, I'm sorry, Jason, that they always say, you know, if you want to reward sort of good iron play or more accurate players, they always say just tighten the fairways. But really all that does is that just makes the bombers have even more of an advantage. Wouldn't they widen the fairways and then everybody is hitting the fairway and then it's less of an advantage, right? Wouldn't that be the way to go?
You know, I had this idea on Twitter the other day. I kind of threw it out there. And, you know, it wasn't this hot take. You know, I'm just sort of, hey, it's a theory. Maybe that works. That's exactly what I said. Because, frankly, what happens at a U.S. Open is even the straighter guys, even your Webb Simpsons and guys like that, are going to miss a decent amount of fairways. So, basically, by narrowing them, you have helped out the guys who are hitting at 350 and hurt the guys that are hitting at 280 off the tee. Now, I'm absolutely willing to listen to the idea that if you widen the fairways, now you've got Bryson hitting at 350 in the fairway and Webb Simpson hitting at 280 in the fairway, and the long guys still have an advantage. Look, length is going to be an advantage on any golf course, any time, any week. It just is. And I don't know how you counteract that. I was, again, speaking with Bryson's data guy last night. I said, if you're going to Bryson-proof a course, how would you do it? And he said, honestly, you would have to trick it up. Basically, you have to put creeks running across the fairways at 330 yards. You have to put trees in certain spots, bunkers. Basically, you have to change courses, change the way holes are played, because he's hitting them to spots that, you know, there's really no trouble there. Hey, you know, when the course was built, whether it was 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 years ago, they put bunkers at 270 because, you know, the best pros would have a tough time flying it over the bunkers. They have to make a decision. Well, now there's no decision to be made. He takes it over trees. He takes it wherever he wants. And guys, I cannot wait after speaking with his data guy for the Masters in November, where he told me about just some of the lines that Bryson's going to take. I mean, Bryson, if he's not going to break golf, he might break Augusta National.
Huh. Well, you know, it's amazing, and I watched 95% of this tournament. It was amazing. The length is one thing, but his scrambling ability, okay, he's got the strength to hit the ball out of the rough. Right? A lot of guys were struggling out of the rough. So he's got the ability to hit it out of the rough. But his scrambling ability around the greens and his putting were crazy. I mean, other guys were able to get up there short, but they were, you know, three putting. But he was able to scramble around those greens, and he was gaining so many strokes that way too. And not enough people talked about that. His putting was off the charts.
Absolutely. And he's a good putter. I know it looks weird. I know
it looks terrible. God, it's so ugly.
Yeah. I mean, you look at him standing over a putt, and you're like, there's absolutely no chance this goes in. And then he goes in, and you're like, I'm not sure how he did that, but he did it. And so I've always thought that over the last year or so, if he could improve his wedge game from, 50 to 100 yards and in and even around the greens, because that's really where he struggled the most. And quite honestly, that's where he's hitting it to the most, because he's hitting it such long distances that if he gets better from those yardages, then he's going to start winning more tournaments, winning big tournaments. And he was indeed better from a lot of those yardages this past week. And the one other point I wanted to make about Bryson is that I know a lot of people, he rubs them the wrong way. I don't like this guy. You know, he's a scientist, and yet he never really studied science. You know, it's just, okay, that's fine. You don't need to like him. What I will say, though, is you have to respect him. You know, we've got a motto at the Action Network. We always say, bet on yourself. We'll do it at some point, whether you're taking a job, whether you're moving to a new state, whatever you're doing, we all take a chance on ourselves at some point. We all bet on ourselves. And I've spoken with Bryson about this. Bryson was a world-class player. If Bryson made no changes to his body or his game, he was going to be a world-class player for a long time. What he did over the past year was take a risk on himself. He said, look, I want to get better. I want to maximize my potential. How can I do that? Well, I'm going to gain about 40 pounds. I'm going to increase my swing speed, and I'm going to change how I attack golf course. This could have blown up in his face. If it didn't work, all of a sudden, he goes from 10th in the world to 1,000th in the world, and he's ruined his career. Instead, it's made him a much more complete golfer and a much better player for the game that they're playing right now. And so, again, you don't have to like Bryson, but you have to respect the fact that he bet on himself and took a risk, and it's paying off.
Now, one thing Bryson said he's tinkering with, he's gonna bring out the 48-inch driver and work with that a little bit, give him even more length. I've also heard some rumblings that he might tweak his wedges. He won't necessarily have maybe the same length wedges as he does his other irons. Have you heard that?
I have, and here's the cool thing about Bryson is that he's always tinkering. And so I just like guys that constantly try to improve themselves, try to get better. I've become pretty good friends with Bryson's Cobra rep on tour. He works with Cobra Golf, and this guy will tell me, he's like, I will work for 2 days on this, like, Frankenstein-type driver that's got a weird shaft and a weird sole plate and this and that. And he's like, Bryson calls for exactly what he wants. He's like, I'll build this thing. And like, oh, my God, I can't. And Bryson will hit it twice and go, yeah, I don't think this is going to work. I like the idea, but I don't think it's going to work. And so at least he's trying stuff. You know, he's trying different things. And look, every time he's tried something in his career, it has made him a better player in the long run. So if he's going to try a longer driver, if he's going to try wedges that are more fit for playing that wedge game, I don't think that that's going to be a bad thing in the long run. If he can figure it out, it's just going to keep making him better.
So is he the favorite, in your opinion, right now for Augusta? This is the way I look at Augusta. All right, who knows how it's going to be playing in November? We're used to seeing it in April. But at Wingfoot, you know, he was pulling a lot of his drives, but he was hitting them so far, and he was in the rough. He was hitting them so far that the trees weren't really an option, or they didn't have any impact on the second shots. But let's just say on 13 at Augusta, he pull hooks his drive. Well, he's going to be in the woods, or he's going to be in the creek. So he's got to be a little bit more accurate off the tee at Augusta. I'm not saying he can't, but I think he can. He got away with a lot of bad drives at Wingfoot that he probably wouldn't get away with at Augusta.
I think there's a lot of room to miss it at Augusta. I think he can bash it all over Augusta and change the way we look at that golf course. When you ask if he's the favorite, I look at that from a betting standpoint. And so I say, yeah, the odds makers have installed him as a co-favorite alongside Rory McIlroy right now for the upcoming Masters. As far as is he my pick to win, I hate doing it 2 months out. But no, I just, you know, at some point, look, there's a lot of really good players in the world, and I just don't see someone winning back-to-back majors the way it's set up right now. I don't know who I do like, but I do know that Augusta National has always been more of a second-shot golf course. It's usually your good iron players, your good wedge players are the guys that can go out there and win that golf tournament. Tiger Woods is a great example from last year. He's as good an iron player as anybody else, even if the rest of his game isn't quite there right now. So you look at it and you say, yeah, he can bash the ball all over the place. But again, like I was saying, those 50 to 100-yard wedge shots, how close can he get it to the hole? How many times can he give himself birdie chances? And there may be a few other guys that I might like better from 120 out than Bryson from 80 out right now at Augusta National. But I certainly think he will be up there. I don't think he's going to crash and burn by any means.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Jason Sobel from the Action Network. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Jason Sobel, TAN. How many of the golf nerds got your Christian McCaffrey, Mike Davis joke? It made me chuckle on Twitter.
I don't think anyone got it. It got like 2 retweets. I thought that was pretty good.
That was a good one. Because Mike Davis is the CEO of the USGA, and he looks nothing like Mike Davis, who's going to be toting the rock for the Panthers next weekend.
I like it, too.
It's pretty good.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Are you a fantasy football guy, and are a lot of the guys on the tour fantasy football guys?
Yes and yes. I cut back from 7 fantasy football leagues down to 6 this year.
Nice.
Last year, Action Network has a show on the Fantasy Channel on SiriusXM. I hosted the fantasy football show throughout the season. Not doing it this year because we've got golf being played. We've got major championships in the fall this year, so I'm a little busy, but yeah, I'm a huge fantasy guy, and yes, on tour, I would say that 90 to 95% of the guys, and even interestingly enough, a lot of the international guys, you know, a lot of the guys from England and Ireland who you wouldn't think would be into NFL and college football are into it. If they're not playing fantasy, they've got some sort of action on the games every week.
They should.
Who's the most prolific?
Everybody's a D-gen. Everybody.
Hmm.
Everybody is. I will tell you, I'm in a couple leagues with a buddy of mine, Brendan Steele, who plays on tour. And, I mean, we literally don't go a day without him firing 12 different trade offers at me. I mean, I just, you know, at some point, he breaks me down, and I just accept something just to get him off my back.
That's hilarious.
That is funny.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
See you, bro. Right.
Jason Sobel.
From the Axe Network, it just tells you how far it's come. And how, I mean, I remember when we were first doing, like, fantasy drafts on the air, and people were like, what the hell are you guys doing on the air? We used to have, like, Crickety and Horsey and all the boys join us in the conference room.
Right.
And then slowly but surely, like, fast forward, like, 5 or 6 years, then you started seeing kind of the crawls with stats. And then you started seeing fantasy guys on the shows itself. They used to try and stay away
from
that.
Well, now it's so big that a lot of the online poker guys, they transferred into fantasy guys.
Right.
Because they just do fantasy lineups like a DraftKings, and, you know, it's crazy. Like, they put big money and use that as sort of their profession.
I feel like we were doing fantasy in the year 2000, maybe even before.
Oh, yeah. I was in a fantasy baseball league when I still worked at Howard Community College. Well, that was 1995.
I was in one when I was in law school, and that's the one where Jason was keeping the stats by hand. Remember
what year
that?
Was that?
I mean, I was in law school 94 to 97, so I don't remember which year.
It was like
year.
95. I'm sure that's the same year
I'm
referring to.
But, like, Jason was keeping the stats, and then we had kind of – Cakes hates it, but we had kind of a waiver process. So it'd be like, okay, Horsey could pick up somebody, and you'd wait like a day. And then eventually in, like, June or July, Jason just got sick of, you know, adding up home runs.
Well, it was just too hard.
Said it's finished.
It was taking up all of my days. I think we've been doing it for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And we started doing baseball before. And I was doing the same thing for football, by the way. I would go through the Washington Post, and I would go through the box scores, and I would say, okay, all right, you know, Steve Young passed for 280. That's how I would do it, because there was no sites. I think we started created fantasy football.
We pretty much did.
We made it popular.
We're at the cutting edge.
Yep.
All right, coming up next, I believe we're going to connect with Nubs Doug.
Oh, we are?
Nubs Doug gets a lot of runs. So Jason used to do a podcast, Big Fat Winners. It's had, you know, Valdez was part of the show at one point. Skippy, I believe, is still part of the show. It's had different incarnations. And Nubs Doug is part of Big Fat Winners now. And he's been throwing major cash. So we're going to talk to him next, but we're also going to hook up the callers right now. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. We're going to hook you up with a copy of NBA 2K21. This year, my players will start in high school, then go to one of 10 officially licensed colleges, and then on to NBA stardom, NBA 2K21. Everything is game. Out now on Xbox One, PS4, Nintendo Switch, PC, and Stadia, courtesy of Got Game. Give us a call at 800-636-1067. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. So Bish is not back in his seat, but he did a show called Big Fat Winners for a while. I can't remember when he started the podcast. I remember him screaming about kickers and wanting to win on the podcast years ago. We were still in Lanham. So I don't know, Jason, before you sat down, I was mentioning you started that podcast years ago because we were in Lanham when you were screaming about college kickers suck and you wanted to win on the podcast.
Yeah. It's
what
probably
year did
been
you start? Maybe like 2012, 2013?
Yeah, maybe 7, 8 years ago. Yeah.
And so it's had, it's had
about six different hosts.
Right.
A lot of churn.
It had a lot of different like
well, originally
ways
it was,
to receive the podcast too.
Originally it was Valdez and I. Right? That was the two originals.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got, and then we brought Skippy in, right? And then Valdez got caught selling picks on the air.
Is that
gotta,
what he was doing?
Got to make ends meet somehow.
No, no, no. We just didn't know really what was allowed.
What was kosher? What wasn't?
Anyway, so then we brought in Jabby. So then it was Skippy and I and Jabby. Remember Jabby?
Sure, mm-hmm. Of course.
And then Jabby was finished, and then we brought.
Why did you fire Jabby?
Just because technically he was poo.
He was terrible.
Was he the guy that was putting up technically? I remember a lot of complaints.
He was like recording it on his phone. I don't know. It was just, and then of course Nubs Doug and then Skippy and I don't know. It's had so many different hosts.
But now Skippy's still involved.
Oh yeah, it's just Skippy and he Doug. Calls himself the Edge. I call him Edgy Smedgy.
What? Why aren't you involved anymore?
I was told I cannot.
Oh really?
I was told by management I cannot
powers
participate.
That be.
Really?
That's a whole side story.
All right.
That's another drama.
All right, so Nubs Doug has been around.
I mean, we can't do anything. It's impossible to do anything.
Just real quick before we say hello to Nubs Doug, or maybe Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Doug can answer. How did you first connect with Jason then and Big Fat Winners?
Oh, I pulled a coup. There's only been four hosts. I pulled a coup. I'm the fourth one. It was – like you said, three of them and then two donk producers. Well, right. I pulled a coup because I started talking to Skip and showed him how many winners I picked, kind of like what I did with Cahill. And, you know, eventually I'm like John Anthony, man. I just got on the show. Al Pacino got me on the show. So
no, there were more than four hosts because the producers were still technically hosts.
Chiming in. Yeah, that's why I had to ask Pat Hines. We had to just absolutely get rid of him.
Oh, Pat's a good dude. But, you know, all right, whatever.
Yeah, but but he made the show terrible, but yeah.
So Nubs Doug, though, I forget, what do you do for a living?
Real estate,
you
right?
You said I hang drywall, but yes, I sell real estate.
All right, so you're a real estate guy, but you actually throw big amounts of cash. Tell us about this $4,000 bet this weekend.
All right, so I was just – that's why I originally called in, I guess, yesterday. I had to hedge this when Cam was on the one-yard line or whatever. I had the Seattle for a big amount, and I was just too nervous. I had to hedge it and wanted to see if you guys would hedge. But so last year I had a goal of paying a year's worth of my mortgage. I met that goal. And then this year I said, you know what? I really don't need that cash. So instead of taking it out every week like a lot of guys do if they make money, I just left it in, and I'm just absolutely rolling it. I'm 5-0 this week in NFL, and the Raiders money line hit. So it's been a good start. If you listen to the pod, you know, because everybody calls me a liar. You guys call me a liar. If you listen to the pod, I'm 5-0 on the pod on free picks. Called Oklahoma State the sucker bet of the week last week. They were. Called Notre Dame the sucker bet of the week. Week one, they were. So we're on fire.
So how much is in your bankroll right now that you're willing to just throw away? How much is in
27 G's. 27 G's now.
What are you
started out with 1,300. Hey! Started out with 1,300.
Right, I respect the grind and the hustle.
And did you say that you paid off your mortgage?
I paid a year. Last year, my goal was to pay a year's worth of mortgage. This year, my goal was to pay for a wedding.
Okay, got you. I got you.
You pay for a wedding.
So that's what I did last year. But I kept taking the chips out and handing it to my girl until we got to a year's worth. Burrow really helped. But either way, this year I said, you know what? I'm not taking it out. I'm rolling it.
Right. So I mean, so you're putting on average, are you putting $3,000-$4,000 per game or no? Just on your
now
big plays?
Now I'm up to about $4,000 or $5,000, sometimes $7,500, depending on and then a lot of my games you'll be like,
well
you're
gonna go busto quick. If you're putting $6,000 or $7,000, you could lose three or four in a row, you'd be busto so fast.
Well that's when you look up rolling it, that's the definition.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He does that.
25% of your bank account, or your bankroll. I don't do units. I do 25%. If I lose four in a row, take all my money. I deserve it.
That is a wild approach. Right.
No, I would say this, but Doug and Skippy,
25% of his role.
Those guys have been on fire. Dougie was on fire last year individually. Skippy was on fire with WNBA, was killing it. And then combined, they really are. I mean, they're having good weeks, man.
All right,
just
edgy, wedgy, whatever the hell he calls you. Edgy,
I call him Edgy Smedgy.
Edgy Smedgy, thank you so much, because we got Thirsty Anna on the line. So let's
Anna?
I got to ship her chips.
I already shipped the chips.
I shipped
I don't even know what her Venmo is.
Cakesy and Lurch Pappy.
I know,
I
we're late.
No one told me what your Venmo is.
No, Drabby
has it.
Drab has it. Yeah. All right, you have a nugget on Bryson?
A nugget on Bryson? No. What I was going to say is, so I was just listening to your PGA guy.
Yeah.
So first of all, the biggest degens on the tour are the caddies.
Yeah.
100%. Those guys are vicious gamblers. But what I was going to say is, do you guys follow Steve Elkington on Twitter? He's got a great Twitter account.
I think I might have at one point. I'm not sure.
You guys had him on.
Yeah.
You guys had him on. Yeah. You guys had him on. He was a great guest. And so I started following his Twitter account. But he had a really cool drawing that he tweeted yesterday where he was showing the difference between players today and players, the Joey Sindelar, era. And it's crazy to see, and he's right, where somebody like Bryson can hit it 350 yards, nowhere near the green, and then he can hit it and he can plug it right by the hole. Where guys like him were hitting it, maybe 350, 370 yards, conservative, and then they've got to have a great putting game. So
Anna, we got to run. We got to run. Congrats on your win.
Thank you.
I'll send over the money.
She lost.
I'll send over the $5.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Speaking of plugging it, Drab says hi.
Yeah. Exactly.
All about the plugs.
What do we owe her? 10 or 20?
I think 20.
20 spot.
You got to ship her 20.
Dig deep.
20 chips.
That hurts.
We got to get out of here.
Dig deep, Ricky.
For Bish, KXEB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grandanny, they're up next, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.